All right.
Welcome back to a emergency edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. I guess it's another exciting edition. It's the Cubs podcast because they're busy dismantling whatever was left of their team. And as always, with me is Deadspin's own Sam Fells. Sam,
hello.
How are you?
Well, I have to quibble with you there because you said as always, and I fear that this may be my last appearance on the Pointless
Exercise.
Oh,
come on. Who aren't you going to want to talk about Zach Davies and Alec Mills?
As far as I know, and I could be wrong here because you're a weird dude, this podcast is for Cubs fans and people who care about the Cubs. I will no longer be either one of those going forward.
I saw it looked like you were prepping to burn some. Is that
no,
what you
I just I don't burn. If I burn something, it's going to turn into a mass disaster. Even though I've successfully deep fried a turkey 5 times, I was just throwing it out because I am finished. And I understand that what I'm about to say is truly silly, but being a sports fan is truly silly. And there's a lot of suspension of disbelief and naivete that goes into being a sports fan. I understand that. And the more you look at any sport, the more gross it gets. So I know where I work. But the unspoken idea here is that at the base level, you're a fan, you put in the time, the energy, and the money, and the team is trying to win. However they go about trying to win. Now, people ask me, well, how can I dump the Cubs and still be fans of the Bears and the Hawks? Well, here's the thing. The Bears and the Hawks are just incompetent. Deep down, I believe the McCaskies want to win a Super Bowl. They just don't know how to go about it. I don't think there's anything malicious going on with the McCaskies. They're just weird and dumb. Same thing with the Wirtz family, Rocky Wirtz. I think deep down he wants to keep winning Stanley Cups, and he's giving his organization the free rein to do what they think is necessary to do that. Now, they have no clue what that means, but in the end, their motivations are good. What we saw today is the exact opposite of that. This trade signals that the Cubs have no interest in getting better in the future. They certainly have no interest in getting better now. And the only thing they exist for at the moment is to buffet Tom Ricketts' supposed losses for the past season, which he hasn't proven. And I just don't frankly want to be a part of it. And you can't tell me, and everyone is tearing their hair out again over 2 playoff games in a season that barely counted. This team, if they ran it back exactly as it was last year, wins the NL Central. Probably pretty easily. So how far away, really, are they from being a contender? You can't build a team to win a playoff series. It's not possible. You build a team to win in the regular season. This team was built to win in the regular season. It would have won 90 to 95 games as constructed now, before this trade. It needed 2, maybe 3 moves to be a 95 to 100 win team. That's it. Not even big splashes. And this is what they've decided to do. So why, Andy, should I continue to be a part of it?
Well, I don't have a good answer for you.
Okay, well, I didn't think
because
you
I
would.
Agree. I lovingly refer to the Ricketts as the garbage family that owns the Cubs, and I refer to the McCaskies as the incompetent family that owns the Bears. So I basically agree with your sentiment.
Right.
What this shows is that, and it's been true of other teams and other sports, and I'm sure it's been true of the Cubs before, but it's one of those instances where it's unassailable that fans want to win more than the owners do.
And I can accept that. And I can also accept, I'm not asking any team I root for to run at a loss. I do not begrudge Tom Ricketts or any sports owner to want his team to make money. That is fine. It is a business. I'm not asking him, I mean, I have asked him to have a $350 million payroll in the past, but I only say that because I think they could still make money with a $350 million payroll. Yeah. So I understand what the parameters are, but this is beyond, I mean, this is worse than the White Sox white flag trade of 95, was it? For those who are our age. This is worse than the Jeremy Roenick trade, which caused me to stop watching the Blackhawks for years. I can't really think of anything any other team has done that is on this level that is not just incompetent. Because I don't know if this actually is incompetent. I think Jed Hoyer found that every GM knew he was over to Jim Henry's barrel.
Yep.
And was just going to fleece him. And the only reason Theo left is because Theo draws enough water to say, I'm not going to make a bad trade. Because we know he was pushed to make a bad trade for Chris Bryant last year. He wouldn't do it. So they had Chris Bryant for another year, which obviously didn't work out. Jed Hoyer doesn't draw that water. So he was under specific instructions to get the payroll of this or you're fired. And because Jed Hoyer doesn't draw any water, no one's going to care if Jed Hoyer walks out. This is what you get. And, you know, Tom Ricketts is only, well, let's be conservative and say 7-8 months from a full ballpark again, raking it, printing money, joking about how his renovations to the park and neighborhood, which somehow turned Wrigleyville into a more obnoxious neighborhood than it already was, which I didn't think was possible. And he could sit around and joke about, well, that ran $500 million over budget, but hey, what are you going to do? And he gives you this. And I know Tom Ricketts is a terrible person. I have known for a while. I know all about the Trump fundraising and the Sinclair and all that. And you ignore that because you keep saying, well, I was here first. You know, I was here first. I was a Cubs fan long before this. And I can't let a dickweed like this ruin it for me. But this is the base contract. You put up with all that because you think, well, you know, at least he puts a team on the field worth watching. So what you get out of this is 4 lottery tickets. The Cubs will do well if 2 of them make the majors.
Well,
and in an age when everyone...
If they're bad enough, all 4 will make it, whether they deserve it or not.
Right. And in an age where everyone wants to find the next guy throwing harder and velocity is king, here is the dollar store Kyle Hendricks.
Yep.
They didn't even get some fireballer who can't find the plate, which would be a better idea. So, you know, I don't want to waste your time and your fans' times, all 6 of them, by pretending that I'm going to watch the Cubs any more than I watch the Colorado Rockies next summer, because it's not going to happen.
Well, I'm pretty sure I can get Ryan Dempster to do the podcast with me.
Well, yeah, you probably can, as long as there's a camera involved, he'll be there. And I'm not even upset about Len Kasper, because it's been a pretty miserable winter. For Cubs fans. Actually, this day will go down as one of the dumbest days in Chicago sports history because the Hawks announced Kirby Dach will be out 5 months because they let him play in a tournament for children.
Yep.
The Bears are embarking on Packer Week, which we all know how it's going to end, and I honestly can't wait.
I think it's technically ill-fated Packer Week.
Ill-fated Packer Week. But this is what I wanted. I can't criticize it. This is exactly what I wanted. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how any, even the blogosphere that loves to crank its hog to prospect rankings and dreaming about what they could get for Chris Bryant, even they couldn't sell this to themselves.
Yeah. Well, by morning, they will have.
They will have
galaxy brained it into something they think is defensible.
If not by morning, they'll do it on the first day of spring training when they see one of these kids in some backfield. Yeah. Be like, oh, you should see this guy in uniform. Like, no, I shouldn't. So that's my piece. It's sad. I mean, as infuriating as it is, it's sad because the Cubs has meant so much to me over my lifetime. Going to Wrigley, watching baseball on TV and live, and talking about baseball is a huge part of the summer experience. here in Chicago, and to go without it will feel really weird. But that's where I'm at, and I don't see how I will get out of it, because I can't in my mind, I can't let this guy win. I can't let him have my fandom back. It's all I have. And if this is how it's going to be treated, then I don't see the purpose.
So on the face of it,
okay,
you could make an argument that trading a 34-year-old pitcher who's had two serious arm injuries,
mm-hmm,
isn't an indefensible idea. But when
it
you look
would be at, considered selling high.
Yes. But when you look at the return, the teenage boy band that they got back, plus Zach Davies, it became clear that this wasn't a, hey, let's flip you for some close, maybe a couple of close to the big league prospects.
Mm-hmm.
This was the younger the better, because that allows us to sell the illusion that we made a good trade for longer.
Mm-hmm.
They can't prove they suck for like 3 years.
Right. So well, they haven't good. Actually have they as have any of them played competitive baseball? None of them are over 18, right? So they haven't.
Well, they played Little League, and I'm sure the Cubs have extensive scouting reports from their American Legion.
Actually. Yeah, they got Ben Affleck from Good Will Hunting out there watching with a cigarette, watching. Oh, this kid's hitting like 330 this year.
And then the other way that the trade is indefensible is that, you know, if this is a waste, well, we saw an example of it. So the Rays trade Blake Snell a day before, and what they want is live arms in trades that they make. Mm-hmm. Cubs didn't get a single one. They only got one pitcher, and the one they get, you know, couldn't break a window.
And the Rays got a pitcher who can pitch for them next year.
Yes.
Maybe not the start,
right?
But he'll be up midseason, throwing three or four innings out of the bullpen and probably striking everybody out.
So, I mean, you won't because you won't be paying attention. But those mm-hmm. of us who are, you know, the Cubs' plan is going to be, hey, we've got Ed Howard and these four, and they're coming, and we're going to sell that forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's just such tiresome bullshit.
Well, my question to any fan who wants to hang on and believe in that, when these guys get to be 26 or 27, even if they're good, even if Ed Howard's good, what makes you think they're going to pay him then?
Yeah, it'll be time to maybe they'll
time
actually
to flip him.
Right, maybe they'll actually execute it and flip them for inferior prospects.
I mean, a soon-to-be 35-year-old pitcher who's making a lot of money, two arm injuries, probably never going to have a better season than he did. That you could see it. You could see it. I didn't like it. Even in a vacuum, but I could see it. I'll give you a third thing that is infuriating about this trade. It's obvious the Cubs didn't talk to anybody else.
Right.
What I don't know how it went down in their front office, or if Ricketts came down and said, make this deal or whatever. But what is obvious is that as soon as the Padres called and said, what would it take? That's all they listened to. They didn't get another offer.
Yeah, they were
from
literally,
anyone else.
Hey, we got a live one.
Right.
That I guarantee was.
They must thought they were getting fleecing the Padres.
Yeah.
Without getting one of their top 20 prospects in perhaps the most loaded farm system in the game.
Yeah.
So at this point, if you're Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras, why aren't you calling Jed Hoyer and saying, get me the fuck out of here? Why are you showing up? There's nothing for you here.
Yeah. Well, because they can simply, all three of those, well, Wilson can't, but Javi and Rizzo can just play another year and then pick where they want to go. They don't have to
play it out.
They don't have to get shipped anywhere.
They don't have to. They can
enjoy one last summer in Chicago, which is, you know, pretty nice place to be, and then pick their own destination instead of being flipped somewhere and then play out a final season there. So yeah,
but they also may not think they have a year of their primes to waste. I mean, I look at this before this trade, I look at this team and I'm like, you know what? Give me, if you were actually trying to GM this team to win, you need one more starter. I don't want to count on Alec Mills. You know, but one more starter, an arm or two in the bullpen, depending on how your miracle chip pitching lab works. And then you either do something like you stick Michael Brantley in left field, you know, or DH, or you find, you know what, you just get a really good center fielder and you catch everything. And that's a really good team. It's a really good team. It's a team well worth watching. It just wasn't that far away. You know, I mean, it's the same as the Red Sox last year deciding they just simply don't want to pay the second best player in baseball. So they trade him for a fourth outfielder with an attitude. So, you know, and the Cubs deserve more shit than that for this, because at least Alex Verdugo can play in the majors. We don't know if any of these kids are ever going to play in the majors. Of course, by the time they're old enough, you're right, the Cubs will be so bad they'll have to play.
Yep.
And like, well, I got to restock the farm system. You know what? Draft better. That's how you restock your farm system. Draft, develop better. Yeah, like, this isn't basketball. This isn't football where you need a top five pick to, you know, turn your team around. You can get players everywhere in the baseball draft. That's why it's like 50 rounds long. But there isn't an aspect of this that shouldn't send every Cubs fan into a rage. And the infuriating thing is, as soon as they open the doors tomorrow, whenever they open the doors this summer, people are still going to rush in.
Yep.
They won't care.
They'll be in there hugging the troughs. Oh, I missed
right. So, and you know, I don't want people to get the idea that I'm going to be running out and buying my Southside Hitman White Sox hat. I might have had they not had the winner they've had.
You can get one of those La Russa .08 jerseys. Those are cool.
I mean, if they knew they were going to do this, would they still non-tender Kyle Schwarber? Like, is his $9 million that important now that you've gotten rid of the 25?
Well, you could see how the teams have rushed to sign him. They could probably
right.
They can bring him back at less than the $9
million. Probably. For why? Right, everyone tells me, oh, the offense broke, it's broken, it's Kyle Schwarber's fault. Might not have anything to do with Baez and being terrible, Rizzo being in a slump, Bryant being hurt. That might not be the reason the offense suck. I don't know.
Yep.
Call me crazy. I mean, if that's what you expect these players to be going forward, okay, I guess they need major changes.
Well, there's all kinds of nonsense. There's the baseball telling the National League teams, I wouldn't plan on there being a DH. Well, we know right. Damn well they're going to ram a DH in at the last minute. They just don't want...
They don't want to pay for one.
Right. They don't want DHs to have 15 more teams to market themselves to in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That helps suppress their salaries.
Honestly, and if it wasn't for my job that makes me pay attention to the sport as a whole, I really wouldn't watch baseball because it's become the playground for hedge fund bros trying to figure out how they can do this the cheapest. How can we pay our employees less and make the most money? There's like, how many teams are actually trying to win? Dodgers and Padres, no one in the NL Central.
Nope.
The Mets have a new owner, the Braves, and that might be it. Maybe the Marlins, but hard to tell.
They're in the we'd love to win as long as it's cheap.
Right. So that's one third of the National League. Is actually trying to win. You know, you hop over to the American League, okay, the Angels are always trying to win, they just do not go about it. Hard to tell with the Astros, who knows? Again, always hard to tell with the A's.
Well, the A's and Rays try on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both actually pretty good at it. Actually, the Rays are
both
really
pretty good at it. And I will give the A's and Rays some allowance because they don't draw anybody.
Right.
But at some point, especially the Rays, you know what? Just build your own fucking stadium. Quit looking for every fucking tax break and grift you can find and just build one. Because if it's such an economic guarantee, then you'll profit in the long run. All right, so in the Central, White Sox are trying to win. The Twins, kind of. Not really. You know, they haven't addressed all the things they need. No one else in that division.
No. The Indians are actively and transparently doing the how many pieces can we offload and still contend? How right. cheap can we make it but still be able to sell? And that's one of the things that allows the Ricketts to do this is the fact that nobody else in Central wants to win, because all they really want to sell is playoff contention. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be awfully hard, unless you're Pittsburgh, to not be on the fringes of playoff contention the whole season. And why do you need to spend $200 million to do that?
Yeah.
And dopey Cub fans are like, oh, you know, I like this scrappy team. Fuck that. I like, you know what I like? I like really good teams. That's what I like.
I like the team that won 103 games and bashed the shit out of people.
Yep.
I like the team that came after that won 92 games and did the same thing. Team after that won 95 games with half the roster hurt. I like that team. That's the team I like. And you know what's going to happen here is they will. I mean, it's clear. Ian Happ's already said it. They're going to offer the players the DH back for expanded playoffs so they can do bullshit like this. Yeah. And the players will probably take it, though some of them have come out and said, you know what? This expanded playoff thing is a scam. It's not good for us. But they'll still take it because they're dumb. And they decided to hire a former player as their union chief instead of an actual lawyer.
Yeah, one of the dumbest things any sports union has ever done is put right. Tony
even,
Clark
even
in charge.
Even the NHL Players Union, which has to be the biggest collection of morons on the face of the earth, was like, hey, let's get Donald Fehr in here.
Yep.
Let's get an actual lawyer to represent us. Yeah, I mean, you know, my job is to cover baseball, so I will do my job. But, I mean, it is by far the hardest sport to really get into now because of all this. And honestly, I never thought I'd say this. What baseball needs is a salary cap, because with a salary cap, there's a salary floor. And you're not going to get teams to behave in any different way unless you absolutely mandate you got to spend $150 million on your payroll.
Yep.
Even if you have to do what they do in hockey, and I guess they do this in basketball to an extent as well, where you have these bad teams who will just take on like contracts of players who are never going to play, it at least facilitates movement. It facilitates payroll room for the big teams who want to win. You know, it opens up spaces. So that's fine. I don't care about that. And it's anathema to the baseball players. They're the only league that is successful. But what they got was a luxury tax that's become a salary cap anyway. So they might as well just go through and say, okay, we'll give you the salary cap, but you got to have a salary floor too.
Right. All the luxury tax did was it gave owners an excuse to stop spending at a certain level.
Right.
They didn't use it to – it wasn't the rising tide that lift all boats. It's – oh, sorry. I'd love to – it gave them an excuse to hide behind, which is, oh, we'd love to spend that. But we might – in 2 years, we might lose a draft pick. We can't possibly do that.
We lose our revenue sharing.
No.
And there's no one to stop it. There's no commissioner to step in and be like, this is going to be bad for our sport.
No, because I mean, in all sports, the commissioner works for the owners. But in baseball, it's particularly. I mean, for how long the interim commissioner for life, Bud Selig, was a fucking owner.
Was an owner.
And then when he wasn't an owner, I don't own the team anymore. No, your daughter does. Yeah, but we know who owns the Brewers, and it's still you.
It's still you. I mean, you feel like Adam Silver would recognize something like this and be like, we got to figure something else out. This is bad. I don't know if any of the other commissioners would. Bettman certainly would. Roger Goodell wouldn't even know what was going on. So, you know, I mean, and the only reason Adam Silver has that kind of vision and power is because he worked for David Stern, who, you know, was probably the best to do it.
Yeah, it took Goodell, 12 years to finally cobble together enough other owner allies that he could finally say no to something Jerry Jones wanted, because he was always he was always on the verge of being fired by Jerry, and now he finally has enough other guys to tell Jerry to shut up.
Right. So, I mean, it's just obscene. I mean, I until he actually shows me the books, I will never believe Tom Ricketts has lost any money on any of this. And it's not even about making money. Like, these guys, they just They get addicted to making that amount of money. And when it's not that amount of money, whatever it was for the Cubs, God knows what.
Yeah, I mean, this idea that Cap tweeted out that the Cubs have $1 billion in losses on their balance sheet. It's like, well, sure A, that's bullshit. And B, right. if owning a team was such a financial burden,
why does everyone want to do it?
Right. Just sell it then for a handsome profit. You bought them for $800 million. You could sell it for $2 billion to somebody.
At least.
The reason they don't sell it is because they could squeeze fucking revenue out of everything.
There's a difference. See, what people like Cap don't realize is that there's a difference between losing $1 billion and losing out on the chance to make $1 billion.
Yes.
Like, what were the Cubs' expenditures last year, really? 37% of their payroll, which is what? $980 million? You know?
Yeah, something like that.
And then their TV network cancels that out right there. Even as poorly run as that thing is.
Yeah, that TV network benefited greatly from there being a shorter season.
Right.
because they didn't have to make nearly as much money as they would have had to over 162 games to help cover their percentage of whatever
it was. So it's all bullshit, and I don't know why anyone buys it. And I would like to think that baseball is headed for some sort of reckoning, but based on the TV deal they just signed with TBS, it sure doesn't seem like it.
No.
The only way that's going to go sour on them is if the ratings are just so in the toilet that TBS and ESPN start barking, or more RSNs aren't picked up because people are like, I just don't want to pay for it. But I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Well, the bar, especially the reason that they can get away with this, and they're going to, I'm sure, although they're the most PR unsavvy people in the world, which amazingly they
are so bad. They could hire the best people to do it for them.
Yeah, instead they hire Dennis Colton, which is the opposite.
Which is the opposite of that.
You know, they can weather that. A lot of people will be pissed off for over this, and then in a couple of weeks, most of them will have let it wash off. The other, I guarantee you, the other shoe that drops here in a few days, or maybe I give him a couple of weeks, is the hey, we brought John Lester back. Remember him? You like him?
Right,
because they're already paying him $10 million to not pitch for them. So they throw a few million more on. He wants to come back. And then some people are like, well, yeah, I'm going to miss you, but John's back. It's like, well, yeah, I'd like John too when he was good.
He's not now.
But then
we appreciate John Lester for all he does. He's bad now.
Yeah. And really, I don't want to see him be bad for the Cubs.
No, I want to see him be bad for someone else.
But then there's the reason they can get away with it is the rest of the Central is quickly trying to divest themselves of expensive players. Mm-hmm. And if they're on pace to win 80 games, well, of course, I don't know how long the season's going to be, but you know, if 500 or better, they're going to be able to pretend they're in playoff contention until almost the very end of the season. And there will be enough people who buy it. They're like, oh, well, you know, all you got to do is get in and get hot. Well, not with this bunch, you can't. Maybe the team you had last year, you could have.
Are they a 500 team as currently constructed? I'm not even sure. They have one pitcher. One. Well, they keep telling me.
They bring Ryan.
Keep telling me.
What if they bring Ryan Tepera back? He got an MVP vote.
MVP vote. So, you know, I mean, you could tell me Adbert is. Everyone keeps telling me Adbert's going to be. Well, Adbert's going to be in the rotation. He's never thrown 80 innings.
No, and they fucked up their chance last summer to put him in a position where he could build up, at least. Because even, you know, when the season was so short last year, I don't know what they did in South Bend. They played some kind of grab ass every day, but
that's what everyone does in South Bend.
There's no way he built himself up where he could make, 3 months worth of starts before he hits the, my arm is tired and I think I'm going to hurt it. So they didn't handle that right last year either.
I mean, and this, like he's going to somehow miraculously throw 150 innings this year?
Right.
No,
he's not. There's he's not built up for it.
They're even wondering if veteran pitchers can throw 180 innings because they missed out on all that last year. Like, no one knows if even, like, Max Scherzer can go from 230 innings to throwing, what did he throw last year, 70?
Yep.
To back up the 200? No one knows.
Well, so last year, with the... They had spring training, and then they stopped, and then they had another quick summer camp.
Right.
And they had the most pitching injuries that they'd, you know, that they'd had, whatever the rate was, that they'd ever had. It's going to be worse this year.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better. It's going to get more of the effects will be shown this year than last year, because now they're back to trying to hump it up for an entire season. So, and maybe that's another reason why you could, if you thought the Cubs were simply being cold-blooded, and this is you is more valuable right now than he'll ever be again. Let's trade him.
Cash in.
That's another thing you could add to it is here's a guy with a, you know, with a weird arm. It's when it's healthy, he's awesome, but he's had injury problems. But that we all know that's not why they did it.
No.
And even if that was their motivation, then they executed it pathetically. But it wasn't their motivation
right.
at all.
It's so naked. It's so naked what this is. And like it's not even, hey, let's cut payroll here so we can reallocate even some of it around the roster.
Oh, they're reallocating they're reallocating it right in the
pocket.
Back pant pocket of
like let's take the $25 million we've saved here. It's $25 million a year, right? And let's spend
well, almost 30. It's $59 million.
Let's spend 10 of it on Michael Brantley or 15 of it on this guy. And 7 of it on this guy, and we're still saving a little money. You know, let's spread around. Let's try and make our roster deeper. It's not that. It's so naked what this is. But you're right. Even if they think this is a baseball trade somehow, then not only is it bad, it's moronic.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if Jed Hoyer honestly thinks he did well here, not like as well as I could do given what I've been handed, but like just generally well, hey, this is a good trade. I've set my team up. Then he needs to be put on the ice float with Ricketts and Stan Bowman and George McCaskey and all of them. And like we don't, I mean, Jed Hoyer was a GM on his own for what, a year in San Diego, maybe? Like it wasn't very long.
Well, and
we have no idea
Sam, he also was co-GM of the Red Sox for a month. So there's that.
Right.
When Theo put on the monkey suit and ran off.
Right. So he very well might be a moron.
He could be. He seems like a nice moron.
And
but there are are nice morons. Yeah,
there
so I nice picture, morons. Hopefully, what didn't happen was when he hung up the phone from A.J. Preller, he didn't do the Jonah Hill, like, weird reverse fist pump from Moneyball. Instead, he just slammed his head into the desk as hard as he could. Like, fuck, well, that's the best I could do given the circumstances.
But he doesn't even know if it's the best he could do because he didn't shop you around. Like, I know you use names out there, but, like, Padres called and said, we want this, and that's the only thing. I mean, there was no,
yeah,
let's see if we can find.
Because there were
like
there were 17 teams they could trade him to without. So that's, you know, it wasn't just the Padres that they could trade him without his permission.
Right. There was one rumor that the Sox called, and it wasn't much of a return, but they were also going to take Hayward's contract off as well, which has its appeal. But then they decided to trade for Lance Lynn because that's what drunk old Tony wants. Because he's a dirt dog.
Right. The fat guy who only throws fastballs.
Right.
That's how could that possibly go wrong?
How could that possibly go wrong in one of the best home run parks in the game?
I got 3 different fastballs. I got one that I throw at the letters, I got one I throw at the waist, and I got one I throw at the knees. Which one do you want?
I mean, we know nothing of Jed Hoyer. I mean, I don't want to sit here and say he's a moron. We don't know. But, like, it's curious because we know Theo, maybe we won't know until he writes his book, but Theo left because he's like, I'm not doing this shit. If everything's going to be about getting people for when I'm not here anymore, then I'm just not going to be here anymore. I don't want to do this shit. I didn't want to do it last winter. I didn't do it. And I'm not going to do it this winter, so I'm out of here.
Right.
I'm leaving.
Theo either left because, if you want to look at it, he was either benevolent and he went, you know what, we're going to have to strip this down. And Jed, you're going to end up with the Jed. You might as well be the one who makes the trades.
Right.
You know, or more likely, he went, fuck it. I don't want to do this. You do it.
Right.
Which is what I think happened.
But why is Jed Hoyer leaping at the chance to do it?
Because he's going to be well compensated to do it.
He'd be well compensated to be the Mets GM too, with none of this.
Well, but see, there's a
But
see, there's a guarantee he gets the Cub job. There's always a chance they hire somebody else. Here's your contract. Do you want it? And he's like, I'm not saying no to that. So he didn't.
I mean, yeah, okay. Probably would have been well compensated to be the Phillies GM too. I mean, there were jobs out there if he knew how to play the game, which we don't know if he does or not.
Yeah.
So you can have this one.
And he gets the Theo reference, so that carries an awful lot of weight. So, yes, he should have been able to pick. I don't know.
Maybe
he goes down in the pitch lab and he gets all gooey. And like, oh, we figured it out.
Maybe he didn't pick up that best job because Theo's going to go take that one.
Yeah, that's right.
In a year's time.
Yeah, Jed, if you want that job for a year, you can have it.
You can have it, but then I'm hiring Theo and you're fucked.
And you're back to managing the parking lot or whatever it is that you did with the Cubs. It's funny. There was one guy on Twitter who was all upset that the reason that this trade wasn't better is because the Cubs haven't hired a GM yet. It's like, buddy, do you know what GMs do now? No, because
yeah,
nobody knows what they do now. The president is the GM. That's how it works
right,
now.
This is the conversation I had on my other podcast last week when the Hawks were making these delineations. I don't know what the difference between your president of baseball operations and your GM is. What I can gather is that the president of baseball operations now is what we thought of as the GM when we were younger.
Yeah. It's,
and your GM just fills out the paperwork.
GM is or the old assistant GM is now the
right.
GM.
He makes the calls.
Yeah.
Like does Theo's like work. Chad, get AJ Preller on the phone. Like yep. He makes the calls now, and then he brings what was offered. So he does the daily tasks of filling out the forms and going down and doing whatever needs to be done in the clubhouse with the manager. But that's it.
Well, it's title inflation. And it happened from the unwritten rules of baseball, where if you want to hire my GM to be your GM, I'm not going to let you do it. But if you
right.
give him a promotion, then you can have him. So GMs aren't GMs anymore. For a while, they were vice presidents. Now they're president of baseball operations. And that's the only thing that's changed is the salary and the title. But the duties are the same. If you're the GM of a Major League Baseball team now, it's like how everybody at the bank is a vice president except for the tellers.
Right.
Everybody in a front office is some sort of general manager except for the president of baseball operations. So.
Yeah. I mean it's just a sad day because it didn't and I understand that like teams you come to love like a certain era of a team they no longer get to play together until they go out on their shields. That's not even like the proper way to run it. I'm not saying
right.
that Rizzo and Bryant and Darvish isn't even really part of it, but like Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and Wilson and Schwarber should be allowed to just run it back until they're 36 years old. Of course not.
No, I mean it's supposed to be like Willie Mays falling down in center field, or Mickey finally. Not being able to stay sober enough for even the first at bat. That's
but
what it's supposed to come to. It's not supposed to, you're not supposed to just get shipped off to San Diego in the middle of the night.
Right. Like not, but like none of these guys except for Rizzo are even 30.
Right.
Like they are owed a few more seasons to see if they can figure it out. I mean, what if the fucking Nationals before last year had been like, well, shit, we've never won a playoff series. I guess something is fundamentally wrong. Let's trade fucking Strasburg.
Yep.
And cash in and we'll get a bunch of lottery tickets for 2023. Like, I mean, I understand that the Dodgers are this unholy monster, which is why the Padres are doing this, because they have to compete with the Dodgers over 162 games.
Yep.
They're not doing this for about an NLCS against the Dodgers. You can't build a team to say, okay, now we're ready for a seven-game series, because seven-game series in baseball are fucking weird. Like, you can't do that. The Cubs don't have to compete with the Dodgers for 162 games. Like, well, they only have to,
right.
They only have to compete with their division, basically, which they should walk over. And then, like, you find a way, you figure out a way to pare down or use your roster in a 7-game series that you would never use it in the regular season, and you do your best. Like, that's what the Nationals did. Like, the Nationals over 162 games weren't even in the same stratosphere here as the Dodgers.
They were.
They said, okay.
They started 18-31. And then they did it again last year, and they were fucked because they're only 60 games.
They were over 5 games. Like, hey, you know what? It's 5 games. We can throw our 3 best pitchers 65% of the innings here. And all of a sudden, we go from a 90-91 win team because we're always using these guys. Well, with these guys throwing 65% of the innings, we're actually like a 108 win team. Yep. So that's what you do. And I don't know how the Cubs could have reshaped the roster. I don't know that you or Hendricks or pitcher to be named actually are built to throw that much in a series against the Dodgers or how you'd rejigger it. But like, that's what playoff baseball is. You can't build your team like that.
Yeah. Well, the idea isn't, oh, look, we have 2 really good starting pitchers. The idea isn't, well, we've only got 2. We might as well get rid of one. It's you find a third. That's what you're supposed to do instead of this. And then it's very enlightening as to how badly the Ricketts really want to win. The Central should be the greatest gift to a major market team ever. You're the only one in the division. You're going to win the division, so you can spend all your time. The winning the division is a given, and it's what do we need to do so that we can beat the Dodgers or the Braves or the Nationals in the playoffs? You have all season to get ready for that. Instead, they're like, well, shit, we can contend without having to have a really good team because our division's mediocre, so let's just be mediocre. That'll
be
great.
And there's going to be 16 playoff spots or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, I know what the Braves' record is, and I know they went to Game 7 against the Dodgers. I'm not buying the Braves as some fucking juggernaut. I'm just not doing it.
No, that makes I agree, and that makes it even less defensible what the Cubs are doing.
Right.
Because if you take the Braves out of the equation, that's one less really good team in the National League that you even have to worry about. So instead of, you know, and then we heard all this shit from Tom Ricketts about how, well, you know, we're going to get in a position where we never have to rebuild again. And then 3 years later, they're actively rebuilding again. Because, newsflash, it's cheaper to do it that way.
Yeah. I mean, like, you rebuild when the team you had has just passed its sell-by date. Right. It's not past its sell-by date.
Right. Not when your best players are literally in the middle of their primes.
That's
not rebuild time.
That's not rebuild time. That's augment time. And yes, part of sustaining this kind of thing is knowing exactly when to move one piece for 2 or 3 pieces to extend out. I hate the term window, but that's what it is. I mean, that is part of it.
Yep.
That's absolutely part of it. And if they said, you know what, we're going to make a baseball trade with you, Darvish. We're going to sell high, and yeah, we're going to get some younger players. Some of them might not be here this year, but we could get 1 or 2 that will be.
Yep.
I wouldn't have liked it. I'd probably still be fucking pissed off today. But I would get it. I would get it. Like, I'm like, you know, you gotta be careful with that. But it is kind of how you do it. If you know the 2003 Red Sox trading Nomar Garciaparra.
Yep.
You know, and if I could do it, I go through, you know, all the teams that have done something like that. Like, okay, we're gonna choose 1 or 2 guys every couple of years, and say we're gonna move them along. Like, hey, like even if in 2 years you're like, you know what, we've got this Miguel Amaya. We can move Contreras to help us other places because this guy's ready. You know, this guy can take over and do it for longer and as well or close to it, and we can get better elsewhere if we do this.
It's like the Yankees trading Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres.
And then getting Aroldis Chapman back anyway.
Getting Aroldis right back, which was their plan all along.
Right. I mean, and the Yankees were bad that year. They were bad in 2016.
Right, but they did that with the intention that we're not going to be fucking bad next year.
Right.
But, well, let's embark on a 5-year voyage back to respectability.
Right. It shouldn't have to be that way. Like, I mean, if you say, like, okay, we might have to take one season back up. Again, I don't like it, but if you do it right, you can sell that pretty easily. But this team didn't even have to back up for a year. No. You can do this in a way. This isn't how it had to be. It just is because they want it that way. And I frankly don't understand anyone who's still going to flock to Wrigley and wear their Cubs blue and think it's all going to be okay, because it's not. It's just not.
I mean, so they traded you to save $59 million, but they didn't save 59.
Over how many seasons?
Two.
Two seasons?
Right. But they didn't even save it because they are sending an indeterminate amount of money to the Padres. Apparently,
apparently that
was for the benefit of getting the 11th, 13th, 15th, and 16th best prospects in their system.
None of whom can drink.
What was the haul going to be without the cash?
I thought the cash part was debunked like an hour ago.
Well, that could be because Bob Nightingale is the one who reported that.
Right. I think that part of it. But that doesn't even matter.
Mm-mm.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't want to hear about the Cubs saving money.
That if you thought the haul was, if they really were sending money, and you thought the haul was light in the first place, think about what the haul was going to be without the cash. It was going to be even less, but I guess if it wasn't,
there was no haul that didn't include Mackenzie Gore that I would have found acceptable.
Right. And that's why I didn't. One of the other things I don't understand with these, is the quantity over quality thing. One of the few really good or a trade that happened at a deadline that I really liked was when the Mets traded Carlos Beltran to the Giants for Zach Wheeler. That was it. It was a one for one. You guys need the veteran bat for your World Series run. Give us your best pitching prospect. You don't need to give us your fourth best prospect and your 12th and your 18th.
Don't mix and match.
Give us this guy. That's the guy we want. And then, of course, he ended up getting hurt a lot. But still, on the face of it,
still really good.
It's a much better idea than, but it's risk aversion. It's, oh, God, what if we trade him for one guy and that guy turns out to be shit? Let's get four. Then we got four chances. Yeah, you have four far lesser chances.
You have four chances most likely to be okay. I mean, you have no one has any idea what a 17 or 18-year-old kid's going to be. Anyone who says they do is fucking lying. A draft in any sport is a crapshoot, and none of these kids are beyond a draft.
Right. Well, they've got two chances at the next Mike Caruso. So there's that.
Great. How'd that work out for everybody?
Yep.
I mean, it's disgusting on every level. And I don't want to. I mean, the Cubs are certainly not the only team that operates this way.
Nope.
But to act like a small market team in benefit of the San Diego fucking Padres is just unforgivable. I mean, that's the only word I could. It's unforgivable, and I'm not going to forgive it.
So,
and the problem is the Ricketts are never going to get rid of this team. Like, I can't be a fan of this team as long as they own it. And so I'm signing on for a lifetime subscription there.
Yeah. We have to pray that at some point we find the SEC and the FBI raiding Gallagher Way, and them all being hauled away and it being sold in bankruptcy court. Because otherwise,
the only thing you have to pray for is Tom Ricketts coming into my bar. Because maybe I could scare the shit out of him so much if I can get through his team of security, which he doesn't think he needs because he's a man of the people.
Well, clearly when they bought the team, they didn't realize. No one bothered to tell them that, you know, good baseball teams are expensive.
Because he doesn't know anything about baseball.
Didn't realize that. Oh, come on. He met his wife in the bleachers.
Yeah, sure he did. He met his wife in some econ class.
I love that.
They were both probably failing.
The most unconvincing, supposedly charming anecdote maybe in Chicago sports history.
It's not even that. No one told them that by the time they got around to having their own network, it wouldn't be profitable anymore.
Yep.
No one would want it. That they missed the window on getting their Dodgers-like deal.
Yeah,
they
missed the window because the guy that they had in charge of putting it together had signed such terrible deals when he had the job with the old team, with the old regime, that they had to sit and wait until the economics of sports TV went in a shitter before they finally were able to go out on their own. And had they had any savvy, they would have looked and said, this doesn't make any sense. We're better off where we were.
If they would have, if they knew what they were doing, they would have gotten the crack team of lawyers
yes.
to find a way to buy themselves right. out of the Comcast contract. Yeah. You know what? Let's just take the plunge and spend the hundreds of millions of dollars to get out of this contract
yep.
and set up our own network tomorrow.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf's teams own half that network. Jerry likes cash. That would not have been a right. difficult. That would not have been a difficult negotiation.
There's always a way out of these things if you want it bad enough. And they didn't do it.
Nope.
I mean, there's. A, I mean, I think this gets into a larger discussion. I don't want to get into that too deeply, but one of the main problems of this country is that a lot of people have this perception that you're. No, no, most rich people are just as stupid as we are, if not dumber.
Yeah.
And it starts with this family. We've seen the emails. We know they're petty and dumb and paranoid, and they have no idea what they're doing. And this is what happens. And they have to make a certain level of money to prove to Dad that it was a good investment. I don't know what the actual deal is, that their profits have to be so large that they had to inflict this upon this fan base. But they told you in those emails, and no one seemed to care. We could do anything to this fan base, yep. and it doesn't matter.
Right.
And the only reason they went after Theo is because the fan base actually reacted to that 2010 team that was so bad by not going.
Yes. They all of a sudden, they had sold Pops on the idea that they didn't have to win to sell out. And then they weren't winning, right. and they weren't selling.
They weren't selling. There were 10,000 people there. It was like when you and I were growing up. And then that's what spurred them to this. But I don't think they'll cycle back to that. I think that the shine from 2016 is still there a little bit. There's still some of those faces around. Anthony Rizzo's still around. Javier Baez is still around. Contreras is still around. They could sell that to the Rubes from the bus Rubes from Iowa. And downstate. And, you know, I mean, they won't draw. I would guess they won't draw quite as well as they have in the past, but they'll still draw. Especially because people will be so excited to be yes. outside again.
Well, everybody's going to get a COVID bump this season.
Right.
It's going to be people like, hey, we can go to the ballpark again. Who gives a shit? We're going.
Right.
So, it won't be an accurate. What the one thing, and the other thing with,
yeah.
the,
I mean, I don't,
with their TV model is that. Advertising plays such a small role in the income. Most of it comes from carriage fees that ratings don't really matter.
No.
So, which is,
but they might not get the carriage fees.
Yeah. I mean, you could get, I don't know how, and we don't know how long any of the deals are for, but all you need is like Comcast to go, you know what? We don't want to carry this. And then they're fucked again. And Comcast had them over a barrel anyway. So Comcast probably has such a sweet deal that they, you know, they won't even entertain getting out of it. But
right,
yeah. I mean, it's just been a constant mismanagement of
yeah
everything for.
But I mean, it went from incompetence to it was just incompetent, and it was buffeted by the fact that their front office pretty much knew what it was doing. I'm not here to tell you that Theo was perfect. You know, he had his blind spots, but it was well run. I mean, they were still, for the most part, well run. So that the idiocy on the business side and the ownership level was somewhat blanketed. Well, now there's no, you know, now the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. Well, one of the big things they're going to miss without Theo is when the other side of the team fucks shit up, when they either had embarrassing emails or other kinds of incidents. He was the kind of calming, intelligent presence they could put in front of the media to help polish the turd.
Right.
Because you knew he meant what he said. But he's gone. Now, what yeah. is it? I mean, that's not Jed's role. Does Tom have to pop up in front of the camera like a mole coming out of a hole? It will not work.
He's a coward. He's not going to be in front of any camera anytime yeah. soon.
Yeah,
he might get a hand. He might do a hand-picked interview with Kaplan because he knows Kaplan ain't gonna ask him shit.
It'll be Bruce. It'll be
Bruce. There's another one.
That's who gets to talk to him because they
right.
employ him. So, or Taylor, she can talk to him.
Right, she can ask him about Denver.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever been to Denver? You'd really like Denver, don't you think?
How come our the stadium doesn't have a row of purple seats a mile up? Well, because that's 5,000 feet above the stadium. But that's fine, Taylor. That's good.
That's fine, Taylor. You're doing a great job.
Congratulations. Are we still paying you in Chico's coupons? Yeah, that's what I thought.
And you can have all your games announced by Chris Myers.
Yeah, that's the...
So... let me ask you this. We haven't done this podcast since Len made his announcement.
No, we haven't done it since they crapped out of the playoffs.
Schwarber. We haven't done it since they crapped out of the playoffs. Would it have been totally ridiculous when Len made it clear that he wanted to do radio to go to Pat Hughes and say, hey, Pat, would you like to do TV for a year or two? Because Len would really like to do radio.
No.
The pay is more.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And Pat would certainly respond to the less... I don't know if Pat wants to do TV, but I know the less strenuous schedule would have appealed to him.
Yep.
Because if you're the TV guy, you occasionally get the Saturday off, you get the Sunday off, you can take, you know, a day here or there. Maybe you get the Wednesday, right? Isn't the Wednesday a national thing? So you can occasionally get that off. There's a less strenuous schedule to it because he's always got to take that inning off and then they have some boob, you know, whatever boob of the year it is, coming to do the inning.
Screaming buffoon from the second row.
Screaming buffoon, right. So if the Cubs are just going, like, Pat, would you have any interest in doing TV? Because it's really Len's dream to do radio and we'd like to keep him in the family.
And you can even tell Patty can still describe the uniforms.
Right.
It's fine. Go ahead. Talk about what color their trousers are. We don't care. That's fine.
He can do his radio broadcast. Just do it on TV. I mean, the job is different. I'm not trying to sit here and say the job isn't different. But it's not that different.
No.
And then you'd at least have – you'd still be like, look, we know everyone loves Len on TV. But this is what he really wants. And everyone loves Pat. And we get to keep everybody. We're just switching it around. We're switching some chairs. Like, it wouldn't afford... Now, maybe Pat Hughes has no interest in giving up his radio gig, has no interest in doing TV, and it would have been pointless to ask. But I find that hard to believe. Pat's done TV in other sports.
Yeah, he's done lots of basketball.
Right.
And it might even be flattering to him.
Right.
You know, hey.
Like, hey, what if we just swap seats for years so Len can do this? You guys are friends.
Well, and then there's also the idea that Pat is 65 years old with a bad throat.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that most play-by-play announcers die on the job.
Right.
In their 80s. But,
And they're drunk. Right. Like, so
right.
They're usually drunk.
Pat's handicap is that he doesn't get bombed on the air.
Right.
So he'll actually live. Maybe if they told him that'll lubricate his vocal cords.
Right.
Like, you know, Pat, you can still take a dump for the whole fifth inning. That's fine. We know you like to do that. But, yeah, there could have also been kind of a wink-wink
right, you
nudge,
could have
nudge.
Done.
But it was pretty clear that while Len wanted to get the fuck out of there, the marquee guys didn't care. Like, he called them and said, hey, I'd like to do this. And they're like, okay.
And
which I'm sure made him feel great. It's just like, I just canceled DirecTV. After 22 years, I called in and I said, I'd like to cancel. And normally they send you off to, you know, some loyalty person who throws a bunch of programming at you. They went, okay.
Okay.
Oh, all right, right. Thanks. And then they shut it off the next day. It was gone. I'm like, well, fuck, that was efficient. You know, the Cubs did basically the same thing to Len. Oh, you want to go? Right. Oh, that's too bad. Get ready for Ryan Dempster and Jim Deshaies for one season. And then Ryan Dempster solo for the next decade. That'll be great.
Unbelievable. just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it would have worked, but it was certainly worth finding out.
Well, it's clear they didn't do anything to try to keep him.
No.
They didn't. And I don't know that the bunch that runs Marquee has enough brains to sit down and even talk it through for 20 minutes. I think they just went, oh, he wants to go? Well, fine. If he doesn't want to be here, he can go. You know, they seem
they
like those kinds of people.
Now we get to put our stamp on it.
Yes.
We get to hire our guy.
We were stuck with him, and they're already actively trying to shove Deshaies out. I mean, you can...
Right.
You could feel that through the TV. So, yeah, well, my whole take on it was, I believe Len when he says that, you know, nothing happened at Marquee that actively forced him out. But I also believe that I just don't think that's, even after just one weird COVID season, that's a good place. I think it put him in a headspace where he's like, you know what, if I wasn't here, it wouldn't be that big a deal. Maybe I'll find something else.
Right.
I don't think he went running from the booth on the last day of the season going, fuck this, I never want to come back. But I also don't think he left it thinking, I can't wait to come back and do the entire spring training again next year. That's going to be great. I think it was fuck it. If something better comes along, I'm going. Where I think 2 or 3 years ago, I don't think that thought ever crosses his mind.
No, there's no way. He had the best job in baseball.
I mean, the guy I feel sorry for in all this is Kyle Schwarber. Because where else is he going to find a team where after batting practice, he can wander through the wall and go sit on a fire truck for 20 minutes and play?
It is sort of curious that he's still out there.
I'm not ready to close the book on Kyle Schwarber yet. I think they were both sincere that they could work out a deal at less than his $9 million. I think the Kyle and his agent's idea of how much less is far different than Jed's idea. But if the market doesn't heat up...
Not Jed's idea, Jed's limits.
Yes. Tom whispering sweet nothings in his ear as to what he could offer him. That number may plummet into their price range.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of has to wait till like Nelson Cruz signs somewhere.
I mean, Kyle's one of those guys that spring training will start and he won't have a job. I mean, over the last few off seasons have shown
that
there's kind of players in that pretty good, but not a guy you can completely bank on. In previous off seasons, like 10 years ago, they get snapped up probably at the winter meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's pitchers and catchers report, you don't have a job. Position players report, you don't have a job yet. And then, hey, somebody called, and you end up with a job. So he's going to be out there for a while.
We don't even know when spring training is.
Well, I can tell you when it's not going to be. It's not going to be mid-February. No, and opening day is not going to be March whatever. I mean,
April 1, I believe, but yeah, it's not going to be that either.
The owners aren't going to want to have a game until they can have fans in the stands.
At least 25% of the fans in the stands.
And the players are going to obviously want to start right away because they're like, well, or they could say, well, that's fine. You could pay us 162 games worth of money for a 125 game season. That's fine. And the owners aren't going to go for that. So we're going to be right back to the pissing match that we had last summer, which is fine. It's mostly theater because both sides have too much money tied up in it to do anything other than rattle their sabers at each other and then sign something.
Right, anyway. But the difference this time is that, and I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but I know it makes a difference, is that there won't be an empty calendar while they have this fight. Last year they had this fight. There was nothing else going on, so people were like, well, we kind of pay attention because we want baseball just because we want something to watch.
Yep.
They're going to have this fight, and likely, who knows, but likely, the NBA and the NHL are going to be going. Hell, they might even get into their playoffs in May by the time they figure this out.
Yep.
So baseball can have this fight, and they'll just be having it. No one's going to pay attention.
Well, and the other thing is if they had the luxury of starting up in late July when the NFL was gearing up, but there were no preseason games. There was nothing.
Right.
And so baseball got more attention at a time of the season when they had lost attention in previous years.
Right. Because
they were the only show in town.
The NBA and NHL were only starting to kick into gear. Their playoffs hadn't even really started.
Yep.
They're doing the preliminary shit. So they were kind of getting game in town. And then by the time baseball's playoffs rolled around, there was no hockey. There was no basketball. It was just them in the middle of the week, along with the NFL, which is on Sundays.
Well, the NFL managing to somehow play a game every day of the week.
With
some of those COVID reschedulings seemed awfully convenient. Hey, you know what would be cool? We've never done Tuesday night football.
Let's give that a shot. Yeah. There was one on Wednesday.
There was one every night of the week this year. They had a game. Yeah. They had a game all 7 days because when they played on Christmas was Friday. That was a Friday game.
I mean, if the NFL really wanted to, they could have a full schedule with a game every night of the week and just slide it around so teams always had 5 or 6 days off or 7 or 8.
Right. I don't understand the economics of it, but the idea, they keep pushing for the 17th game when the thing that seems to make more sense is just add the second bye week, which they had 1 year.
Yep.
And then that extends your season over the 18 weeks that you want. And with the extra bye, it would allow you to play games on, you know, weird nights of the week and then have those teams be on the bye the next week or the week before, however you need, I guess the week before. Then they have extra rest before the next one and you're good to go. But they always seem hell-bent on adding on every team getting one more game.
Even though it makes no sense.
I suppose TV likes, you know, an extra week of full football, but...
So right.
They should put us in charge. Well, I think we beat the crap out of that news. So
I think we did. Well, I enjoy your company, and if you think this podcast requires someone from the outside of the Cubs sphere to come in and say, "Hey, I haven't been watching, but boy, this sure looks bad," I can do that. We'll talk.
Good.
You know, I don't. We'll talk, and to all of you who enjoy my presence, I can't imagine who you are. You know, we can figure something out, but my days of doing this as a Cubs fan and Cubs carer are over. So,
well, if there's ever a week that David DeJesus isn't available,
we'll
have you fill in.
But I can't be nearly as handsome. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you got to master the stare at the camera and don't blink and don't ever quite close your mouth all the way.
I can do that last part. I can definitely do that last part.
So the first year I wrote for The Athletic, I got
a point.
Yes. Actually, my archives have disappeared. You can still find me article by article, but it used to be, there are still people who follow me. You know, you can do that.
Right. Yeah.
And I went to look for an article today and I clicked on, I clicked on it and you get nothing. Like, oh, but I had to go search for it. I could find the stuff. Anyway, so the first year I was writing for them, I got an email, not from John Greenberg, from actually one of the two owners. It was Adam Hansen.
One of the two dudes, yeah.
One of the two dudes saying, "Hey, we want to do something extra special for opening day. So is there like somebody you could interview or whatever?" Basically kind of, "Hey, can you do a better column than normal?" Without saying it.
No.
So in that column... I interviewed two people. I interviewed David DeJesus and Len Casper. And it was like a big deal because DeJesus had just gotten the pre and post game job. And he was delightful. So much fun. And I thought, he's going to be great. And then I started watching. I'm like, no, he's not going to be great. And then he just kind of disappeared. So
he's not on marquee, right?
Which is amazing because they have a rotating cast of 1,000 duds.
Right.
He would actually be, I mean, most games, their post game was Cole Wright, Sean Marshall, and Ryan Sweeney. And you're like,
ever expanding forehead.
It's like, what the fuck are we doing? This is what we ended up with?
Yeah. And then occasionally Lou Piniella with drink in hand would chime in from the garage.
No. Lou, once the pandemic hit, Lou was like, fuck this. And he never appeared again. You did get Mark Grace broadcasting games from the bar in his house, which seems so dangerous. And he only got, and he actually, he, they claim he didn't get suspended for calling his ex-wife, was it a nitwit? Whatever it was.
Something like that, yes.
Didn't actually get suspended. He just wasn't scheduled to be on for a while. And he did Diamondback games during that time. So. Anyway, I given their aptitude towards PR, I'm fully expecting the announcement, probably the beginning of February, that Tom Brenneman is the new play-by-play voice for Marquee.
I mean, it has to be, right?
Yep.
That's the only way out of this.
Yes, because they love the awkward opening press conference, and nobody could deliver that better than Tom Brenneman.
I sort of wonder about their play-by-play search because these guys all know each other. Like, someone's gonna say like, "Oh wow!" Like, gonna get offered like the Cubs job. Like, "Oh wow!" Play-by-play guy, the Cubs job. That's like the third or fourth best job in baseball. And one of his friends is gonna be like, "Yeah, you don't want to go work there."
You know what though? I think because there's so few of those jobs that they would, even knowing that, they would still stiff arm each other to get to it. I just have a feeling.
I mean,
think Marquee will fuck it up by picking the wrong person. I don't think they will fuck it up because the caliber of people they could have picked from is not high enough. I just assume, given everything else, they will pick the most boring and ill-prepared person.
Someone who doesn't have that job, yes, but of people who have everyday, like if you wanted Don Orsillo from the Padres, who used to be the Red Sox guy,
they should have thrown him in the trade. He could have thrown him in the trade. Yep.
But he knows what it's like to have a flagship play-by-play job.
He knows what it's like to get fired from one too. So he's probably like, "Fuck, I'm not doing that." Fuck.
Well, yeah, he knows what it's like to get fired by people who don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
But if you went to him and be like, "We're going to give it," it's unquestionable that the Cubs play-by-play job is a better job than the Padres play-by-play job. It's a bigger job,
right. Even with the Padres being a better team this year.
Even with the Padres being a better team, he might think, "Yeah, you know what? I've got a pretty good job. I don't want to go work for these dumbasses." Like someone like that. I mean, I don't, you know, throw a name out there and like who's got a job. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know what I need to do. Like, go, not Joe Davis. He's the other guy. The guy from in Milwaukee who's really good, who does the Fox stuff too.
Well, Brian Anderson used to do it.
Brian Anderson. Why? He'd be like, well, why do I want to work for these guys when I got a job?
Yeah.
You know, but if you find someone who doesn't do baseball regularly at the moment, yeah, they'll leap at it because, you know, there's only 30 of these jobs.
What I think they'll have to do and what fits in with the way they program all their other shit is I think they'll pick somebody who has other gigs so that they have another. Last year Chris Myers was going to do games when Len was doing Fox, and then Len didn't do Fox because of the pandemic. I have a feeling that whoever they get, and you know, it could be a guy like Adam Amin, who is like, I got to do Fox football, and I've got all this bull stuff, and they'll be like, that's fine, we got Chris Myers to do those days. I have a feeling they're going to end up with something like that, and I think they're going to like that because I think it really feels like Marquee is going to want to have like multiple play-by-play guys so that they one guy who is, you know, becomes like, I don't think they want a face of Marquee. Well, like they want Ryan Dempster to be the face of Marquee. Amazing.
Well, that's what Yes does, or at least used to do. I don't know how much, but like, you know, Mike
they have that ridiculous rotating group of eight people, right, or whatever it is.
Right. But Michael Kay would do most of the games, but not all.
Yep.
And then they had like two other guys who would come in, sort of circle in, and do it. And then Paul O'Neill would be in there, just not shutting up. It's funny that they're trying to put, you know, you see Paul O'Neill trying to package himself as this like amiable guy when anyone who played with him or against him was the biggest asshole in the world.
He was the he was the Ron Santo of the 90s.
Right.
Everybody was like, "Why? What? Everybody knew you were a dick." Look, I'm charming now. Okay, fine.
Whatever. Right. Okay, fine. And Paul O'Neill has both his feet, as far as I know.
And he used one to try to get a guy out at first base once.
Right. That's probably what they're going to do. I mean, if you find good people,
yeah, you can make it work.
You can make it work. I mean,
I don't have any confidence that Marquee can make it work. But
no, I don't have
in
any.
In theory, it works.
I don't think they have any idea what they're doing. I don't think anyone in that organization has any idea what they're doing.
No.
It's just so dispiriting. So dispiriting. But whatever, you know. Hey, you know what, Cubs fans? If you feel like giving up, I get it. In 2 years, the Fire are going to sign Lionel Messi. So you can watch the Fire during the summer. They'll have Leo Messi, and everything will be fine. No. So
he'll tweak a hamstring in warm-ups every week.
Right.
But you will have already bought your tickets.
You'll already buy your tickets. He'll play 10 games. He'll probably score 21 goals in those 10 games. But, yeah, he'll keep getting hurt because he'll be 37 or whatever. But, hey, that's all you got to do, you know? Like, you can find other things to do. Chicago's a great summer town without baseball. And if you really need to go see baseball, go to the South Side. Yeah, they're managed by a drunk and owned by someone who thinks it's still 1987, but they'll be far more interesting to watch.
Yeah, that I won't be doing, but I appreciate.
Well, you don't live here, so it doesn't matter.
No, and if I did, I wouldn't do it anyway. It's not even I don't like the White Sox. I like to live in a world where they don't really exist because I just don't.
That's fair. That's fair. I like going down there. I got buddies who are White Sox fans. Now the final curtain between us, the whatever shred of animosity we had because of that's fallen. I can just go down to the South Side and enjoy some baseball. That's what I'm going to do. If I have to have it. And I don't know that I have to have it.
Well, you'll find out in June or whenever they finally get to
Oakland. Right. I mean, that's assuming I'm going to be allowed in any ballpark, which is unlikely because...
You mean because of COVID or just because of you in general?
You mean with both? Yeah. Both. They combine. I mean, I'm at the, you know, we're at the back of the line for a vaccine, as we should be. So who knows when I'm actually going to have it.
Yeah, I literally did that thing. There's that New York Times interactive thing where you plugged in a few data points and it told you what percentage of the country was in front of you for the vaccine. 96% of the country was in front of me for the vaccine. Like, oh.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, fine.
Yeah. And I'm not complaining about that. That's how it should be. But until I have the vaccine,
let me go first. I really thought.
Until I have it, I'm not really jonesing to be out and about, you know. So, baseball is almost a 2022 problem because, like, you're probably not going to be allowed to go to games.
Maybe
it'll be very hard for you to go to games this year.
Maybe the Cubs' strategy is that maybe they know the pandemic really going to be in full effect till 2026, and so the Darvish trade all of a sudden is the smartest trade in baseball history. Look, yeah. These guys are ready. It's amazing.
They're ready by the time we can have fans back.
We sent them to Lithuania for 4 years to play, and now here they are. Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate the jumping on at a moment's notice to...
Oh, no problem. I'm on vacation this week, so I got nothing to do.
The garbage family that owns the Cubs. But.
Indeed. Well, we will talk soon regardless, and then we'll see where the future of this goes.
All right. Well, until then.
All right.
Thanks, Sam.
Have a happy new year.
You too.
Many of us have herpes.